This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're listening to the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS. This is Jack McKenna reminding you, if you tell where he's going, he may not get there. It's Saturday night, April 15th, 1944. Lou Martin has news of a great Allied victory along the Russian front. And the Fair and Square kids will be in with their thoughts about the war, out of the mouths of babes. Plus music from the Roaring Twenties and our Saturday night Oldies show. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Siegel Brothers with Botany 500 suits for just $45. Siegel Brothers at 1120 Tower Avenue. For style and quality, it is Siegel Brothers. Good evening, Lou.
A special good evening to you, Jack.
Special?
You know what I mean.
Lou's winking at me, folks. He's a lousy winker, you know. Both eyes blink at once.
You're a funny guy. Good evening, good listeners. Red Army land and Navy forces are hammering Sevastopol, and partisans tell of atrocities by Germans against Jewish children. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup with Eddie Gilmore on the Russian battle line.
This is the Soviet Union. Eddie Gilmore here on the outskirts of Sevastopol. A powerful Red Army land force has pinned the Germans to a narrow strip of coast around Sevastopol, the critical Crimean naval base held by the Nazis since 1942. Soviet planes and warships are pouring fire into this port. The huge city looks like a giant exploding ammunition dump. Soviet airmen and torpedo boats have paralyzed any escape attempt by Nazi fighting ships. A Pravda dispatch says many ships have been sunk, the wreckage littering Sevastopol harbor, sprinkled with the dead bodies of German and Romanian soldiers and sailors. It is believed the Nazis had hoped to have a Crimean Dunkirk, but their escape has been sealed, as has their fate. This is the end of a two-year occupation, and it appears the Axis troops know it. They are blowing up ammo dumps and destroying their own weapons. This six-day offensive is about to culminate by taking the last remaining few miles to the Black Sea. On the outskirts of Sevastopol, this is Eddie Gilmore calling Odessa.
This is the Black Sea port of Odessa, your correspondent Harrison Salisbury reporting. This is a city that has been forced underground for the past 2.5 years of Nazi occupation. Having just arrived here, I'm getting reports that this occupation was particularly brutal. These stories are very disturbing. I must warn our more sensitive listeners to beware. Since its takeover by Nazi forces in November of 1941, Odessa's Jewish population has been decimated. Pre-war Odessa's population was one-third Jewish, now none remain. That would mean 70,000 Jews were either killed or transported from this port city. Odessa Mayor Boris Davidenko re-entered the city with the Red Army. He fled underground when the city was captured. He is trying to confirm details of why one-third of his people are missing. But some of the answers came today when the leader of the underground Odessa partisans met with correspondents. Comrade Major Anatoly Leshenko sat in a bright room on this beautiful spring day. The room darkened as he told of incomprehensible atrocities. Major Leshenko claims 80,000 civilians were killed in Odessa during the last 2.5 years, 70,000 of them Jews. He says when the occupation began, 15,000 Jews were led to the Strelbish barracks field and ordered into buildings. He says troops, many of them Romanian, dumped kerosene on the buildings and set them afire, killing all 15,000. He also says children, most of them Jewish, but also Russian, were brought in by train carload from around the region. They arrived tottering from weakness. Still others were dead. The Nazis had taken their blood, set up an involuntary blood bank, using these children for their military blood bank. We are assured this is not propaganda, but that Odessa citizens witnessed the arrival of the children. Many of them cried to be adopted, promising they were healthy and would not eat too much. In Odessa, this is Harrison Salisbury reporting, calling the Pacific, come in New Guinea.
This is the jungles of New Guinea calling. Alfred M. Schock reporting. The Japanese have yielded Boga Jim on New Guinea's jungle-fringed coast. Boga Jim and its war booty fell to the determined Australian troops who have been fighting this battle since September. The Aussies are pushing through the jungles to their main objective, Madang, which is 18 miles to the north. Already they are encountering Japanese patrols. American troops are also said to be in the Boga Jim region, but a communique from General Douglas MacArthur does not mention their involvement in today's victory. On this same day, Allied airmen slugged Wewak on the New Guinea coast with 250 tons of bombs and struck the crumbling Rabaul base as well. Along New Guinea's coast, this is Alfred M. Schock reporting. Calling the advanced Allied air base in New Guinea, come in, Daryl Berrigan.
Allied fighting air headquarters, New Guinea here, Daryl Berrigan reporting. America's top ace fighter pilot, Major Richard Bong, has been grounded. Major Bong nailed two zeros over Hollandia Wednesday, breaking the U.S. record set by Captain Eddie Rickenbacker in the First World War. After getting congratulation letters from General Douglas MacArthur and 5th Air Force Commander, Lieutenant General George Kenney, Major Bong was notified that he would be put behind a desk, possibly be sent back to the States. Credited with 27 kills of enemy planes and another three probable kills, it appears the Major does not relish fame. He warily faced reporters here today and winced when told he would be interviewed by an American radio hookup. Major Bong told the war correspondents that he doesn't, quoting him now, feel a damn bit different. But I am miffed at all of this, presumably meaning the gaggle of scribes questioning him. He did say, quoting again, I'd go nuts if I couldn't continue flying. Fellow pilots say he is almost nerveless in combat since he downed his first Jap in December of 1942. Major Bong is reaping the benefits of his new record. Besides being promoted to Major yesterday, he has been promised a case of scotch from Captain Rickenbacker and a case of champagne from both General MacArthur and General Kenney. At an advanced Allied airfield in New Guinea, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting.
By the way, Major Bong's sister, Nelda, tells the story that her famous brother gets the shakes after combat. He told her while on leave last December in Poplar that he doesn't have time for nervousness during combat. She also says that he doesn't like to fight. Nelda Bong says that her brother's thrill is flying. Lieutenant Franklin Roosevelt Jr. is planning to put to sea in a sub-chasing craft off Florida. The president's third son completed a six-week course at the sub-chaser training school in Miami this week. Lieutenant Roosevelt was with the destroyer group before reporting to Miami. KUWS Radio News Time 607. Jack McKenna has these words from Siegel Brothers.
Indeed I have, Lou. For style and quality, it is Siegel's. Ready for inspection on new spring clothes, Siegel's Society brand. Just arrived, the smartest and freshest lineup of men's suits and top coats of the spring season. New fabrics, new patterns, new colors. Society brand suits, $50. Botany 500 suits, $45. Florsheim Shoes, the home of Siegel Brothers, 1122 Tower Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin. Get over there and shop for your suit, man.
A Superior man has been badly wounded during fighting in the Pacific. Private First Class Merritt Nelson was wounded in action on Bougainville, March the 24th. The 26-year-old Private Nelson is the son of Carl Nelson of 3811 East 2nd Street. Mrs. Frances O'Connor and Mrs. James Murphy will lead a Russian relief effort in Superior and Douglas County. This is not a money drive, but it's an effort to get clothing and household necessities to the Russian people. People are being asked to fill kit boxes with household items. They'll be delivered to Russian people as they return to their homes retaken by the Red Army. Andrew Wenzel and Clough Gates are heading the publicity committee. Dry conditions this April mean that permits are needed before burning brush. Forest Ranger J.E. Hansen of Brule warns that the forest fire hazard is high now that the snow is almost gone and the grass is dry. Bayfield County has a new district attorney. Judge G.N. Risjord has appointed Robert Spears as acting D.A. He'll replace Bayfield District Attorney Walter Norlin, who left for Tucson to enroll in the Navy. Mr. Norlin will become Lieutenant Norlin once he is finished. The mother of America's ace of aces, Major Richard Bong, will christen a ship as it is launched in Superior at the Butler Shipyards. Mrs. Carl Bong will christen the ocean-going cargo vessel USS Granger later this month. Butler Shipyards has a contract to build 40 of those ships. And finally, Jack, Mission Covenant Church at Poplar will celebrate its 50th anniversary by dedicating a new church building. Reverend Elvin Nelson says they'll have special services on April the 25th and 30th for the dedication. Mission Covenant Church was formed in Poplar in 1894 at the log home of Mr. and Mrs. J.M. Peterson at the present-day site of the Poplar State Bank. There were 22 charter members, and there are still three left alive, including Mrs. J.M. Peterson.
Congratulations to Mission Covenant Church, Lou.
Congratulations to Mrs. Bong, who will get to launch a ship.
Congratulations to that new Bayfield D.A. Robert Spears.
Congratulations to Dick Bong for getting a case of scotch.
Hey, not easy to find a case of scotch.
Hey, you're telling me.
Newsman Lou Martin, Major Bong's newest best friend. On with the weather, friends, for this fantastic Saturday night, April 15th, 1944. Fair skies tonight, sunshine for church tomorrow, and warmer. Tomorrow's high should reach a balmy 60 degrees. Well, it's about time. Now, from our oldies collection from the Roaring Twenties, let's kick things off with Abe Brigod. And, yes, sir, that's my baby. That's Abe Brigod, and yes, sir, that's my baby on Station KUWS. Hey, we've got the Fair and Square Kids and Uncle Bob coming in. That should be a barrel of fun. Let's keep the good times rolling now with none other than Al Jolson and his big hit, Say Goodbye, on the Martin and McKenna Saturday Night Moldy Oldies Show.
Goodbye, oh me, oh my. Seven times he got aboard his train, and seven times he hurried back to kiss his love again and tell her the tootsie goodbye. The tootsie, don't cry. The little choo-choo train that takes me away from you, no words can tell how bad it makes me. Kiss me, tootsie, and then, oh, baby, do it over again. Watch for the mail, I'll never fail. And if you don't get a letter, then you'll know I'm in jail. That, tootsie, don't cry. Tootsie, gonna buy. When somebody says goodbye to me, oh, I'm sad as I can be. Not so with his loving Romeo. He seems to take a lot of pleasure saying goodbye to his brother. Tootsie, goodbye, bye-bye. Tootsie, don't cry. The little choo-choo, the little train that takes me away from you. No, no word to tell how sad it makes me. Kiss me, tootsie, and then, oh, 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 do it over again. And though I learn new things to learn, I'll keep playing solitaire until I return. That, tootsie, don't cry.
Hey, that's fun. That's Al Jolson and Tootsie on station KUWS. Hiya, Lulu Martin. See, my Canadians won Mr. Stanley's Cup against Chi-Town.
Tove Lake won it in overtime with a great shot. Swept the Chicago Blackhawks 4 games straight.
Whoa. You're not mad your Blackhawks lost?
I find it important to be in an agreeable mood for your special day. Besides, it was a great game to listen to.
You mean it? Whoa, what a guy. Think the 1944 Canucks is the greatest Montreal team?
That's what they're saying. Elmer Lesh, Maurice Richard, goalie Bill Durham. Hard to beat those guys.
You almost feel sorry for those poor Blackhawks.
Anyway, for your special day, old buddy, we have a guest. Draft Board Chairman, Colonel Joe Raffoli.
Ah, thanks, McMartin. Happy birthday there, McCorkle. I took up a collection amongst the guys, and, got you these.
Wait a second there. You've known me for 10 years, and you still get my name wrong. How can you remember my birthday?
It's McMartin's fault. I mean, well, McMartin called us, and, well, the old colonel might be bad with names.
Or places.
Or dates.
Pretty much facts in general.
Yeah, frickin' frack at it again, I see. Well, here you go.
Attractive brown paper bag wrapping.
What? No card?
Men don't give men cards.
Oh, gee whiz, Colonel. Knee-high black socks.
Yeah, well, we all chipped in down at the VFW.
Dug pretty deep, I see.
No, this is very, very nice. Thanks, Colonel. Tell all the guys. Thanks. I'll send them a thank you card.
You would. Anyway, happy birthday, McCorkle.
See you, Colonel. What a nice Saturday night this is turning into. From our Roaring Twenties collection, here's Billy Murray and If You Knew Susie, whoa, on the Martin and McKenna Show. McCorkle, Martin and McKenna. Go ahead.
Shakespeare, she's a wow.
Wow!
Though all of you may know her too, I'd like to shout right now. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. Though she gets sassy, I'll say she's classy. Oh, oh, you can bet I love this lassie. We went riding, she didn't fall. Back to the city, I'm the one that had to walk. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, oh, what a girl.
Billy Murray, and If You Knew Susie, on Station KUWS.
You're usually pretty disappointed whenever Colonel Raffaele shows up. You took that pretty well.
I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, Lou, especially tonight.
We'll introduce another favorite guest of yours, Douglas County Women's Christian Temperance Union President, Mrs. Axel Fennell. Good evening, ma'am.
It is a lovely evening, made all the better by our hometown hero, Major Richard Ira Bong, and his refusal to accept a case of Scotch whiskey as America's new leading ace pilot. He sets a tremendous example that hard drink, the demon liquor, need not be necessary. It's good that America's youngsters have a sober, dedicated man to look up to.
Mrs. Fennell?
But Major Bong did accept the gift. He just gave it to his buddies in New Guinea for a little party.
You needn't ruinous liquor or spirituous wines to have fun, Mr. Martin. The fact is, Major Bong prefers a soft drink.
Mrs. Axel Fennell?
The good General Hap Arnold sent Major Bong a case of Coca-Cola, and the Major said that's fine with him.
Hard to believe it's true. Mrs. Axel Fennell, head of the Women's Christian Temperance Union?
My word, what's wrong with him?
It's his birthday. He's not himself.
Well, I know it's your birthday, and the girls and I made you a gift, Mr. McKenna. We know you mean well, after all.
A present? For little old me? Huh, nice wrapping paper. I appreciate that. A pair of socks. A pair of knitted socks. Oh, boy.
Hey, how cute. They look like booties.
For wearing around the house on cold days. Mrs. Hilda Berg was in charge of the project.
I suggested that they give you socks.
And a lovely idea it was, too.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Axel? Axel Fennell?
You're welcome.
Yes, thanks for stopping in.
Well, strange, the way he keeps repeating my name.
He always wanted to be named Axel.
Well, it's a strange name.
Mrs. Axel Fennell? The wife of Axel Fennell, building custodian who likes his special elixir when he plays cards with the boys every Friday night?
One and the same. And I must say, repeating her name time and time again was very smooth.
Well, if opposites attract, the Fennels are a match made in heaven. We've got the Fair and Square Kids up next, friends, so on with the good time music. Here's Ben Seldon, and When the Red Red Robin Goes Bob Bob Bobbing Along on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you. starts hopping his old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
When the red, red robin goes bob, bob, bobbing along. Now let's bring in Uncle Bob and the Fair and Square kids.
Hi, Uncle Bob.
Well, hi, kids. Isn't it funny to hear Lewis Martin say bob, bob, bobbing? Say it again, Lewis.
Just because it's somebody's birthday, don't push it, Bob.
Uncle Bob?
Yes, Freddy Cryer of Cameron.
What scotch tastes like?
Scotch.
We heard that lady talk about it.
Oh, yes. Scotch is yucky, icky, blah.
Some would say it's an acquired taste.
We have the most talented boys and girls here today. Your poems are the best Uncle Bob ever read. Frida, yours fits right in with our nice April weather. Do you want to go first?
Sure, Uncle Bob. My poem is called Spring. I'm so glad when spring comes. It means that winter's over, and we can shed our coats and caps and roller skate once more. The pussy willows come out in their coats so white. The flowers peep from the ground. It's a marvelous sight. The birds are singing merrily and hopping all around. The squirrels scamper about from treetop to the ground. It makes me wish that school was out.
That's wonderful, Frida Cryer. You love spring, don't you?
It's nice, but I don't think it's good for my older brother. We used to go look for tadpoles this time of year, but now he's too busy. I think he likes girls, Uncle Bob.
No. Girls over tadpoles? That's hard to believe.
And his voice is all funny these days.
Wait till you see what happens to his face.
Who's next? How about Mary Dernick of Birchwood? Hi, Mary.
Hi, Uncle Bob. We have a secret for you. It's a big surprise, so I'm not supposed to say anything about it.
Mary, don't!
Well, you're the one who asked him about scotch.
Yes, well, Uncle Bob likes surprises, you know. But, Mary, you wrote such a nice, sweet poem. Our listeners would like to hear it.
I call it Thoughts.
Goodness sakes.
Isn't that sweet?
As I sit at my bedroom window and watch soldiers go marching along, I seem to be marching with them, and my heart sings this little song. Do not cry, do not fret, they'll be marching home yet. Some will live, some will die, but you must not cry. If those you love die, say they died for their country.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
I will be glad when this war is over and my uncle and dad come home again. Do you know when that will be?
It will be soon, Mary, and then everything will be normal again.
I hope they get old Hitler real soon.
Hi, Rose. Rose has a special poem about when the war is over.
Yes, Uncle Bob. I sent it to my brother. He's over in England now. They're getting ready to go to Germany.
So you sent him your poem. Oh, he'll like that. This is Rose Dietrich.
It's called The Road Home. It isn't beautiful at all, just a twisting brown lane. There's an old stone wall and leaves wet with rain. It winds over a low pasture, sweet with new-turned loam. Nothing grand or wonderful, just the road home. It isn't beautiful at all, but it's peaceful and calm, and the rain patters on the wall like a sort of quiet psalm. Oh, I've traveled the world over, it's far as I've had to roam, but the nearest and dearest, it is the road home.
Just beautiful. And you can't wait until your brother takes that road home, can you, Rose?
Neither can Mom, or Dad, or our dog Scout. We all miss him.
Have you ever won first prize before, Rose?
No, Uncle Bob, except last year at my birthday party. I dropped the most clothespins in a bottle.
Well, boys and girls, Rose Dietrich of Clear Lake gets first place for that wonderful story about our boys overseas, waiting for the day they can take that road home. You get $1 for that, Rose.
Wow, a whole dollar? I'll buy some more stamps with it.
Now we have a surprise for you, Uncle Bob.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Uncle Bob. Happy birthday to you.
Holy smokes, a birthday cake.
Happy birthday, Jack. I brought this cake for you. I just got the time off from the shipyard.
A birthday cake, Harriet.
Happy birthday, Uncle Bob. Your voice just changed, Uncle Bob.
I mean, holy smokes. A birthday cake.
And there's a card, too.
Can't be from Colonel Raffi, then. What does it say?
From Harriet. Chief Engineer in Charge Joe, Ray, George G. Newton, and the gang. Happy birthday, Jack, Bob. Meet you tonight at the Club Superior. P.S., in spite of rationing, we made the cake just the way you like it.
With extra frosting. I love extra frosting.
I mean, Uncle Bob likes extra frosting. It makes my teeth tingle.
Here's your surprise from us. Mr. Lou suggested it.
Oh, goody. Let's see what it is. Why, it's...
Socks! We got you socks. One from each of us.
I have three socks here. That's just great. Just great. This is the greatest birthday Uncle Bob has ever had.
But you don't mind the gag about everybody giving you socks.
Socks are a very personal thing, Louis. That makes them special, warm, comfortable feet mean people care about me. So thanks, boys and girls.
We're all girls, Uncle Bob.
I knew that. This is Uncle Bob saying, it's not square to be fair in this fair and square club. Good night, boys and girls, everywhere. Frosting.
Maybe if you put frosting on scotch, it would taste better.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Paul Guggenheimer plays foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan. Other performances by Kathy Loxo, Tom Martinson, Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.